This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, do you think Bill Belichick is going back to college with his girlfriend?
No. He's going...
Rodney Dangerfield.
It's just been announced that he is joining the Inside the NFL program.
Ah, gotcha.
On the CW with Ryan Clark, Chad Johnson, and Chris Long.
The CW still works?
I don't know what that is.
I know where it is. I don't think anybody's at that building anymore.
It's like where the fan... Bill Belichick's not going to the CW building here in the Metroplex.
Wasn't the fan there for like 6 months or something?
Across the street. Yeah. It was across the, like literally across the street. But I think the tower's still there. But he says, and I quote, "I'm thrilled to join my new team at NFL Films and to work on such a historic television franchise."
We're on.
I've always appreciated Inside the NFL's depth of analysis, and I hope to bring the same detailed insight to the CW. By talking real football with pros, Ryan, Chris, Chad, this upcoming season.
Okay, he does sound pumped. Yes, Channel 33, but I'm not saying...
I think it's different,
okay,
though.
Okay, but I'm not saying that they're going to be at that studio. That's just like one of the affiliates.
Is Chase Williams still there?
He moved a long time ago, right?
Andy Scholes was the dude at CNN that brought me on.
Do you know, I saw Chase Williams one time at the airport. He had just gotten married.
Uh-huh.
I think he got divorced.
Oh, I think they're all right.
They're still married?
I don't know.
It was a while ago.
Why would you just go on air with that speculation?
I don't know. I think, maybe they're happily married. I just remember I was going on a trip with my wife, and then I saw Chase Williams there. He's like, "Oh, I just got married." I was like, "Oh, man, congratulations. You're still a good-looking guy."
I mean, I see him in a picture of a kid, and
there's
a picture on, like... Hey.
Congratulations.
There's woman's legs here.
Hey, you know what? You can have a kid and not be with that person.
I'm saying there's woman's legs in another picture, too, okay. So I feel like,
but that kid has a horrible name afterwards. Bastard, right?
Oh my God, dude.
Isn't that what they call
it? And that is not how a bastard works. It's if you have the kid out of wedlock before you're married. If you have the kid while you're married and then get divorced, you don't become a bastard. Guys, we're going to talk about the Cowboys here. I know we came back right on time. Things were going great, and then we took a detour.
Things are still going great.
Okay. What is your biggest regret of the Dallas Cowboys offseason?
Well, now it's not getting Bill Belichick, so he has to go work at the CW.
Okay, fair. Not with the Dancing Frogs and the Animaniacs. No, I do not believe they're going to cross paths.
He's going to be on an Arrow or Smallville.
Didn't people say that frog was problematic?
What?
Man, I'm pretty sure there was people that were like, we need to get rid of that frog.
Ayo from The Bear, she says her dad is the Dancing Frog, that he does the voice.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true or not. That could have been a joke.
Interesting.
Anyway.
So 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel text line. Let us know what your biggest regret is of the Cowboys offseason.
I guess I'll start. It's the draft. In the second or third round, they should have taken a running back.
Yes. I see my variation of that, but it's the exact same thought. Is one of the things I came up with is not taking the running back issue seriously. Because earlier we talked about the offensive line, and look, man, the offensive line might be able to be incredible, but do you think it will reflect poorly on them if you have the worst running back room in all of football?
Deuce Vaughn dressed a couple times last year.
He did.
Do y'all believe that that was just a pick for show and that he can't apply anything to the NFL now?
See, I don't necessarily think it was just a pick for show, but a lot of times you just make picks that late in the draft and you're like, well, we gave it a shot, but it's not working.
We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they did it as a bit at all.
You're done now on Rico Dowdle as can he stay healthy option?
Yeah, and I just don't. You don't view him as a lead back.
Like a game changer?
Yeah. Nope. I literally think we have no lead running back. And I understand that people are going to make the argument is it's more of a combo running back league in a lot of places anyway. Fair enough. But I feel like usually
there's a guy that's really good.
Yes. And
he's a game breaker.
You just don't have that with this running back room right now. So I'm with Mike. I really wish, even if I realize best player available, even if maybe it was a bit of a reach, I would not have minded like a second or third round running back.
Yeah, no, they have a collection of guys, and I don't know if they're just going, well, we're hoping that Zeke's going to be great again, you know, or if they're going, man, and maybe the Zeke thing was part of them trying to negotiate with Dak. Look, hey, stick around. We'll bring your best friend back. You know, I have no clue where all that falls together, because I agree with you. I don't think he is the Zeke we used to know by any means.
No.
And when your offensive line isn't, you know, one of the top three offensive line either.
Last time we knew him, he was a center.
Yeah. That is true. That is
never
true.
Gonna,
I think it's called snap, drop, and roll. Right?
Snap, drop it. He did get dropped.
The play didn't go well.
It did nothing. Nothing went well.
And if you have no idea, just for the record,
looked like he was on fire, right?
If you have no stop, drop, and roll, if you have no idea what Mike is referencing, just go look up Ezekiel Elliott as the center and just watch the spectacular failure that play was.
Okay.
I mean, I know you know what it is.
When I saw this question today, Kevin, my first initial reaction was that they didn't get somebody to replace DeMarcus Lawrence. And I say that because I desperately feel like this defensive group needs more. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence is really good. Listen, there's nothing. I'm not saying that he's garbage. I'm not saying that he's a cone out there by any means. He does a very good job of what is asked of him to be done. However, you're about to run out of time with him, and you need to have the real replacement for his future. Now, maybe they're looking at the draft and they're thinking to themselves, no, we do have some potential replacements for him when it comes to like Sam Williams or some of these other guys. I know that they like Marshawn Nealon. I know they like Fehoko. But I just feel like when you look at the talent on your defensive side of the ball right now, you're thinking to yourself, it's not enough. And I feel like they should have said, you know what, we got to continue to add arms to this race. And I didn't feel like they did. So that was the first thought. But then, Kevin, that's when I looked at the Cowboys' whole roster.
Yeah.
And at the end of this season,
there's a reckoning coming on this cap.
This will be the busiest. The next year will be the busiest Cowboys offseason we've seen in decades. Because the Cowboys are losing, will potentially lose a ginormous piece of their core. Now, that's if you believe that they're willing to walk away from some things, which I'm willing to believe that. I know some of you guys are not. I feel like they're in a situation where they're like, look, we might have to revamp this whole thing. But looking at it right now, they have some big-time problems to contend with in this offseason. So starting with that, trying to replace and replenish your defensive line, maybe even getting bigger and stronger in the middle. I would have liked to have seen that too. But they didn't, and that's what we gotta hope and pray that they can figure something out. Maybe Mike Zimmer's got the scheme to draw it up.
Now, when we were talking about running back, somebody brought this up from the 469. Their biggest regret is not, I don't know, at least making the phone call or whatever to Derrick Henry. Like, maybe you just would have looked at it and been like, that doesn't work financially for us. But one of the things that came up is Derrick Henry's like, yeah, kind of thought that made sense.
But nobody called me.
But I didn't hear from them. I'm not saying you had to do that move, but at least it feels like because we're like talent acquisition 24/7, 365, that you would have called Derrick Henry just to be like, hey, what's up? Is there any chance you play for $3 million? No? Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like even something as simple as that, I think would have been fine with.
Just being proactive enough to make those calls. The Cowboys' philosophy is people come to us, though. And then we get a better deal because people come to us because they want to wear a star.
Look, man.
That's lost its luster, man.
I want to preface this by saying I went to Texas A&M when I use this example because I know sometimes it makes people upset. This is the trap that Notre Dame fell into for the longest time. This is the trap that the University of Texas fell into for the longest time, is you got to a point where that wasn't the case anymore. Like, sure, there was a time when you're like, I'll do anything I can to get to that school no matter what. And Notre Dame sat on that, and Texas sat on that. And now the Cowboys sit on that as if it's still, I don't know, the mid to late 90s, maybe even the early 2000s. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Yeah. If there's one thing we learned from the Mavericks, Kevin, it's that you don't sit on that. You stand on business.
I like that. I like that. Now, as you could probably guess, a lot of people are in the same vein. My biggest offseason regret from the 229 is that I'm actually paying some attention to what is going on with the team. This after I swore I would give up on them. On the 469, my biggest regret is just being a Cowboys fan in general, but unfortunately, that is not going to change. And from the 469, this is probably the number one answer thus far. Biggest regret, believing that we were actually going all in. And, like, that has become the joke phrase, right? Like, I mean, I know people have jokes about the Cowboys anyway, but that has become the biggest joke phrase since Jerry said that.
Well, right? Okay, so, yes. People like to crack on that a lot.
I'm one of those people.
And I do too. I say it all the time. And you're like, Corey, stop.
Not me.
Yeah, no,
Mike's very serious when he mentions all in. But here's my, maybe the all in philosophy. Again, I go back to maybe all in is not saying I'm all in. I'm buying everything. Because clearly, Kevin, this offseason, they did not.
No.
They did not go all in with their money and say we're buying everything. But just like I just mentioned, that roster at the end of this year, if nobody has signed contracts, what happens when you do go all in? Well, either you win or you're out of chips. Yes.
Let's talk about that, Corey, because you bring up a very astute point. And this was my primary thing. I definitely agree about the running back, but not re-signing Dak Prescott. Here's the deal. And I know this is a very He is a very divisive figure for Cowboys fans, much like Romo was before him, and I'm sure the next quarterback will be and everything like that. Dak is a good quarterback, all right? I'm just going to leave it there, and hopefully that we can all kind of come to an agreement on that. But the more important part about it is that I don't think there's any chance in hell the Cowboys are going to let him walk. Now, I know Bobby would bring up the fact that if it gets to the end of the season, Dak might choose to walk. And that's fair enough. And that's a different point. But he wouldn't have walked if you would have, like, you know, played ball with him now and just given him what he wants, because that's how we seem to negotiate anyway. But if Dak Prescott walks, you don't magically fix anything. Because I know people are like, oh, we can get a new quarterback. That's fine. But he still counts $40 million against your cap in 2025. $40 million if he's not here.
Don't worry, Kevin. If you look at that roster, like, all of the players are going to be gone.
Yes, and that's a great point, because guess what? If Zach Martin does retire, he counts a crap ton of money against your cap too, into the eight figures. So with Dak and Zach Martin, that could have been much worse. With Zach Martin and Dak Prescott, you're out in the $50 million range for 2025 for two players that theoretically might not even be here. And I would be okay with that if the Cowboys were like, our hand has been forced. We did this for too long. We got to tear it all down.
But because they're like, no, everything's fine. We got all these plans to re-sign these guys.
And that's what I'm afraid of, is they're going to, even if they did let Dak walk, they're going to be like, hey, Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. And that's the person who comes to mind. And they're like, we got Joe Flacco. We just re-upped with Trey Lance. Don't forget, he was a top pick in the draft. And we've got a top pick in the draft and somebody who won the Super Bowl. Who can stop us? And
the next Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, yes. And you'll be like, what the hell are we doing? If you told me they were doing this because they're really going to let Dak walk if it doesn't work out and tear it all down and try to rebuild, I would be like, good, do that. Give it another shot. Like, give it another shot. Let's see what we can do with these guys. And if it doesn't work, we have to totally reboot. I do not believe for one second they're going
to
do that.
So it's not feeling more and more like that right now? Like, not, the closer you get to the fact that none of those guys are signed and they're getting further and there's nothing new, nothing new on the horizon. There's nothing that makes you feel that they have this kind of plan in action.
No, it really isn't, because, like, take a look at
the other route is easier.
And, exactly. Yeah. The other route's way easier. And this is what is actually going to happen. All right. CeeDee Lamb, I firmly believe that they'll give him the contract extension once he's missing from training camp for just a little bit. And if he wants to hold out, then they'll be like, hey, don't forget, we can still franchise tag you and everything like that. Micah Parsons is still under contract for two more years. I know you would like to get that done so you can spread out the money. And then Dak Prescott is under contract for the rest of this year. But I just think they're going to be like, well, it sucks. We love Dak, but, you know, we didn't win, so now we got this other plan. And it's just going to be a plan to tread water. You need to be able to sink if you're ever going to come back up again.
So that's, I know I am the most optimistic one to the point where people call me a homer for it. And I appreciate that.
15-2
Mike is the most optimistic one.
Only lose the last two because you've secured everything you need.
I have not had a very positive offseason at all, Kevin. I have not been positive about this team at all. The one sign of hope that I'm kind of fingers crossed, there are two things I'm fingers crossed for. One is that Dak has the greatest season we've ever seen and does his thing. The other one is that they actually go through with the plan, as you described it, that they need to go through with in order to kind of reset their whole thing. And it's going to take what it would take a pretty bad year next year. It would also probably take a pretty bad year this year.
Yeah.
Or a collapse at the end of the season, or a big time loss in a certain way. But that is part of the hope that, like, maybe they've learned all these things and they're ready to flip a switch on that. But nothing in their past has ever told you that that's the way that they're going to go. So that's where the false delusion comes from when people are like, you guys are crazy.
I agree with you on that. Here's the other part. For everybody who's like, you need to let Dak go, that's the thing. Pick one or the other. I'm okay if you pick the other one too, but that should have happened the second you lost to the Packers. The second you lost to the Packers, you're like, we're done with him. We need to find a way to move him. And I know people are going to be like, Dak has a no trade clause. Well, I bet if you traded him somewhere where they were like, we will give you Kansas all of City. The money. Yeah. And well, I don't
they
know.
Win.
Kansas City probably wouldn't be in the market for a variety of reasons.
Cincinnati.
But you probably not them either. I have a feeling, though, you could find plenty of places that would want him and would be willing to give him all the money that he would waive his no-trade clause for. And then you can move on and be like, we got some assets, we took the hit now, and now we know we have to move in another direction. Now, whether that means you throw Trey Lance out there to see if he's got anything, or you would have drafted a quarterback, I have no idea how it would have played out from there. But the Cowboys didn't make a decision. They sat on their ass and decided, let's just see what happens. Well, how great has that worked out?
Gotta wait for the leaves to fall, Kevin.
Yeah, well, guess what? Almost every wide receiver leaf has fallen. What are we waiting for? The tree to burn down?
Well, I mean, whenever the weather happens, Kevin, trees fall over. So maybe we're just waiting for...
Don't know if that is accurate or not. Oh, like with a hurricane?
I've seen these trees fall over out of nowhere.
Okay, well, maybe they're expecting a hurricane to hit the salary cap and everyone is cheap again. It's not going to happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, from the mind of Corey.
What?
And stolen just a tiny bit from the morning show. What makes the city you live in badass? Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, the morning show does a very intriguing segment called Neighborhood Watch.
All right.
And during Neighborhood Watch, they said something that, Corey, you thought, that's an interesting point, but how can I make it more badass?
Absolutely. And that's how this segment came about.
What makes the city that you live in badass?
So they were discussing, Mike, where would you raise a family? Like what cities are you more likely to raise a family in? And people were dropping like the Friscos, Grapevines, Flower Mound area, stuff like that. And they said, where would you live if you're single? And everybody was like, oh yeah, uptown, downtown Dallas and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's makes sense. Being in and around the city as a single person makes a lot of sense. Being over by White Rock Lake as a single person makes a lot of sense too. Yeah. Because being around that lake, there's a lot of action. There are a lot of people, a lot of traffic going on around that lake. There's a lot of single people living in that area. A lot of families too, though. Kevin, we tried to discuss how much it would cost to buy a lake. Because
yes.
With Clay Thompson moving here, where is he going to put his boat? He has his Boston Whaler. Where is he going to put that boat? And I was like, well, I mean, is he going to take it to Louisville? Is he going to take it to Texoma? And you said maybe he could just buy a lake. And then we tried to figure out how much it would cost to buy White Rock Lake. And we were looking like over the $200, $400 million, maybe even $600 million range.
Because at first, Corey said he thought the lake could maybe be had for $40 to $60 million. I was like, I'm buying that lake.
Yeah.
Who owns the lake?
Well, that's a great question. The city does. But property values over there, Mike, like multiple homes in the $25 million area. Like, it's wild.
But nobody owns the lake. I can swim out in the lake and they can be like, you're on my property.
Yeah.
Once I buy it, I could.
You also don't want to swim in White Rock Lake. You don't want to swim.
Why? Yeah. Gators?
No gators.
Sharks?
No sharks.
Cougars?
No, it's just nasty.
Cougars can't swim. They're cats.
That is a nasty lake. Look, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous to run around the lake and be around the lake.
But you don't want to go in the lake.
You don't want to swim in that lake, all right? You don't want to swim in it.
Plus,
they tell you not to swim in it. They're like, do not swim in this lake. Stay out of it.
As we established yesterday, I don't always follow the rules. From the 940, Oak Cliff is the only right answer to all of these questions.
But why is it badass? That's the question.
That's a great point.
Why is your city more badass than other cities?
South Oak Cliff football.
That's a great reason.
Yeah.
I love that reason.
Now, from the 214, they're five generations deep in McKinney. And they said,
wow,
McKinney was just voted the most affordable city in the U.S. and one of the safest cities in America. That's a pretty good combination.
Every time I've been there, it's been very nice. They also have Tupps Brewery, which just expanded out there, and it was phenomenal. Like, that's a really cool layout they got there. Every time I go to McKinney, I always feel like it's very comfortable and relaxed, and I'm not too rushed. You know, for the amount of people that live in the city, it doesn't feel like a very rushed city.
Okay.
From the 214, Corey left us Garland folk. He's too rich now.
See, and
ooh, whoa.
That is true. I'm telling you. There's a lot of great bits on this station. One of my favorite bits is the whoa, especially in the like
completely Sean and RJ.
Overreactionary.
I had some ketchup yesterday.
Whoa! And that's why
you can afford ketchup.
That's true. I think
Heinz. Everybody can afford Hunt's. Stinks.
I think
he's right.
That the reason why Garland is great is because Garland is a mix of everywhere. There are some places near Firewheel that are really fancy. There are other places in Garland, like where we live, that I like quite a bit. But it's only right across the street from what we call the Murder Sonic.
The Murder Sonic.
In Garland, the great thing about Garland is you're never too far away from a fancy place and a place where you might get stabbed.
That's true. I lived in Garland. I lived in Garland for a while. I lived right next to the On the Border over there in those apartments.
Yes.
Got robbed three times. Two times the apartment got broken into. One time the car was stolen. So, yeah, I know about Garland being a... I mean, look, dude, that On the Border was awesome. We had a great time. We'd go have really fun parties at other people's houses in Garland all the time.
But that's why I'm going to argue that Garland is badass. It prepares you for the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some places, you're like, this is a nice place to live.
There's also some hills in Garland.
That's true.
I'm being serious about this. I don't know if there are any hills in Plano. It's a flat.
Seems flat
it
everywhere.
It is a flat grid in Plano. The only hills area, I think, is Arbor Hills, and that's over near Hebron. So, like, that's really far away from where I live. But it is, and I guess on the east side, as you get towards, like, Wiley and all that stuff. But again, closer to something else. Plano's just a flat grid. Now, that being said, travel's pretty easy. It does take about 15 minutes to get to any highway, though.
Unless you want to travel in some low-income housing, and they're like, you get the hell out of our city.
They have one area that I really know of that is low-income housing kind of area. And I do think they've tried to get rid of it for a long time, too.
For sure.
If I remember correctly. But for the most part, I think it's badass because there are lots of parks. Every place, every community you get into, there's an awesome little park that they have sitting right there. And for me and the family, we like to get out and go run around and play the parks and stuff. So that's always been something I've really liked about it. It always seemed like everything's kind of right there. It's like Whataburger. It's got everything you want, and it's right there. So that's always a good thing.
Now, I don't know if these mathematical equations will be helpful to anyone, but somebody said that they built a 5-acre lake and it cost $100,000. I did the mathematical breakdown for White Rock Lake. That means it would cost us approximately $20.3 million.
Okay, because based on acreage alone?
Yes.
But that's building a lake.
That's true.
So that doesn't include the property values. Where did they build that lake? Did they build that 5-acre lake in like Euless?
Don't know.
It's a different factor there.
Don't know. From the 214, it's got to be Old East Dallas. We have Swiss Avenue. We have mansions and crackheads. So they said that's why their city is the
like
best.
Near Bryan Adams?
Yeah, in my neck of the woods, old school East Dallas, Old Lake Highlands is kind of where I grew up, and that's at the top of the hill where Buckner and Mockingbird and Peavy all come together, and it overlooks White Rock Lake.
Buckner, where they used to have an orphanage.
There is it still there?
I don't know. I used to play baseball over in Buckner.
Really?
My dad would tell me he's going to drop me off
like,
there.
In, like next to the baseball fields.
Did they ever let any of the kids come play baseball?
They weren't good enough, I don't think.
That's why they're orphans?
I don't know why they're...
On your face!
I don't know why they're orphans. There's you can be orphans for different reasons.
Yes, you can.
Ask Manny.
But I could see him, and I could see in your mind, Mike, he's like, he's not good enough. Send him to the orphanage.
I just always felt sad as a kid.
That's
you're playing
fair.
Baseball, and then you see this big building, and they're like, yeah, that's an orphanage. And you're just like, oh, man. That's a tough one.
I always think that, okay, look, here's the thing. Since you said that, I want to point out, I always think that driving down 75, I can't remember where the exit is, but you'll see the giant casket store.
Yes.
And then right next to it, there's a deli. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure that deli is delicious, but I would always wonder, like, do you just cross paths with all these people who have, like, just lost loved ones? And you're like, hey, got the sandwich. It might make you feel better.
Well, there is that.
Our meat's to die for.
Yeah.
I think Cindy's.
That's pretty good.
I think Cindy's restaurant's Cindy. Right yeah. next door. And yeah, man, you need to eat. Everybody's got to eat, even if they're shopping for caskets.
Not the dead people.
Well, not the dead people. From the 940, Bowie, Texas is home of the world's largest Jim Bowie knife. So.
Okay.
Is it Bowie or Bowie?
If I could move and job wasn't an issue, I love the area around TCU.
Okay, and somebody just said, I know Fort Worth is a big place.
You lived out in Arlington. You lived
I lived on the other side of 30 off of Montgomery, probably 3 miles away from TCU. Like, when they scored a touchdown on Saturday, I could hear the explosion of the horn. I could hear the horn go off.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I was close enough that, you know, I was like, oh, TCU scored a touchdown.
And what was there anything specific about it? Was the campus environment?
It's a beautiful area over there. I mean, there's some areas. Obviously, Fort Worth, there's plenty of horrible areas. But there are some really beautiful areas. And usually around the TCU campus, there's some great areas.
From the 432, I live in Lake Worth now, and having military jets fly over low every day is pretty badass, in my opinion.
That
might be annoying for some, but for me, I like it. When we're in Arizona, we always see those jets flying around out there, and we're like, that is pretty cool.
See, and I could see that. I appreciate he gave the perspective of, I live there and still think it's cool, because I could see when we visit Arizona, I was like, that's super neat. And if I lived there, I'd be like, good Lord. Like, are we actually going to another war right now?
Dude, for the first time the other day, I was in the pool, and I looked up, and I heard this zzz, and Walmart was flying one of those drones over with groceries, and awesome. It went over my house. I was like, I could just shoot it down right now if I had a gun.
I wonder what the repercussions for that
in the pool with me for shooting down the drone.
Yeah,
I'm sure they got cameras on it.
From the 254,
I know where they're going.
Cameras haven't helped out the stolen baseball cards yet.
I guess that is a fair point. From the 254, I'm from Abbott, home of Willie Nelson
and Jim.
And the no, I don't believe that is the case.
He's left-handed.
And the next town over is West, the Kalachi capital of Texas. That's pretty badass. From the
That's where they had that big explosion.
That is true.
Yeah, Mike, that is true. The same week Pat Summerall died and the
really
that was the Boston bombing,
the marathon bombing.
All that happened the same like 3 days in a row.
You sure?
Yes,
we
I'm
were on
positive.
Air. We were on air. A show had been fired. Or moved on from, and we were asked to fill in 3 straight days. Terrible things happened to humanity.
And people were like, man, you guys are like, I like you guys, but you're really uptight.
Why aren't y'all fun?
And I was like, I promise we usually are, but you know. From the 214, there is a great skate park in Garland, but you could definitely get stabbed or robbed. I mean, look, that I can tell you that about many places in Garland. It's a testament to that Sonic right over by where we live, that that Sonic is still in business and thriving, despite the fact that someone got killed there.
But do people get killed in places? It shouldn't always be the murder place. It was something else before that.
I'm sorry. There's other places near there. The Burger King, haven't heard anything that happened there. But the person who got murdered at Sonic is why we call it the Murder Sonic.
Makes sense. I mean, it really does make a lot of sense. Arlington, because of Six Flags, World Series.
Okay.
Hurtado's.
But here's...
Arlington is entertainment city.
Here's why I'll argue...
That's the way I've looked at it.
...a little bit against that. Because I've always thought this. Hurtado, great. Going to see the Rangers, great. Going to see the Cowboys, not in January, usually really good. And then Six Flags, fake Wet and Wild. There's so many good things there. I wouldn't like living there.
Just call it fake Wet and Wild?
Yeah, that's right. I don't care what they change the name to. It'll always be Wet and Wild to me, damn it. I would always think there's so many fun things right there. I don't want to go to my job or go to school or whatever. So it probably is a cool place to live, but I would be like, man, do you want to go to work today or do you want to go to Six Flags?
I've had a couple of friends who've lived in Arlington and they're like, this is my favorite place that I've lived in so far. And they lived in some pretty decent areas of Dallas that I thought were really cool too. So I've always like thought that, but I also at the same time, I'm like, is it just attraction town? Or is there other really good stuff to go along with it? So, I don't know.
And that is an interesting, interesting point. Man, there's a lot more feedback. I'm sorry. We might have to revisit this again at some point. Coming up next, though, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Can Shanahan, Aaron Rodgers, and Dangerous avoid these dubious NFL records? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Wilson throws off balance, picked off at the 4-yard line. Rodney Thomas has made a couple of really nice plays tonight, and another one here, and he finally gets tripped up.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Here we go!
I don't know why I didn't know that was going to happen.
You're welcome.
I think Alec is so good at his job. I just don't care.
You don't expect it?
I don't care for that part. Mike thinks it's the best thing.
I do not apologize.
It's like you're getting ready to snap the ball.
Okay.
It just matters who you're playing, if it's going to go well or not.
Do you want to talk about the suctitude of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson or Kyle Shanahan?
The suctitude of Kyle Shanahan or the suctitude of those two?
Correct.
Or also talk about Kyle Shanahan.
The way you said it before.
All right. Aaron Rodgers suctitude? Is that a thing? Explain to me. I'd like to hear it.
Who do you think has been sacked more times in football? Or else I get it. You're thinking Kardashian. I see where it's going. In the history of football, who has been sacked the most times?
In the history of football?
That's right.
Vinny Testaverde.
David Carr.
They're better than that.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is second. He has been sacked 565 times.
Who's the Minnesota quarterback that played for 750 years? Mike Fisher usually uses his name. He played in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, my God. Fran Tarkenton. I knew you guys had it. I just wanted you to say it. Fran Tarkenton has been sacked 570 times. That is the most in NFL history. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is third. Fourth and fifth are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. 531 sacks for Aaron Rodgers, 527 sacks for Aaron Rodgers. Let's try that again.
I heard it.
Okay, 531 sacks for Aaron Rodgers, 527 sacks for Russell Wilson. So they are both within striking distance of this record.
Dude, here's the thing. Tom Brady had 12,000 pass attempts in his career.
That's a lot.
Russell Wilson, 5,600.
Oh my God.
So like to be, just imagine 12,000 attempts and sacked 565 times.
Well, here's
5,000 attempts and sacked 527 times.
Here's part of the issue.
Rodgers is at 7,660, by the way.
Twice in Russell Wilson's career, he has been sacked less than 41 times in a season. Less than 8 times he's been sacked 43 times or more in a season, which means if he did that this year, he has the potential to be the most sacked quarterback of all time. Are you impressed by that record? Because the quarterbacks in the mix are actually all pretty good because they clearly had a lot of longevity. Now,
I'm looking at this list, and I don't have Tarkenton on here. I don't know why they don't have him on this specific list, Kevin, but it's Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Wilson, Favre, Elway, Dave Craig.
Ooh, so Dave Craig, that takes a pretty big hit.
That's a weird one to kind of just throw in the mix. How did he get to quarterback that long?
That's a great question.
I know. They're all good questions.
Okay. I don't know about that, but...
I didn't say they're all great questions.
Okay, but that was a really... This is a good question as well. 817, who's been sacked the least amount of times that's had a relatively long career?
Who's been sacked the least?
That's still had a relatively long career. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have the answer, I don't even know what to
do. I don't have the answer.
Because we can't even guess.
I mean, you can. I'll just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go from that to Kyle Shanahan. This is an interesting point that I guess I hadn't realized. Kyle Shanahan is the fifth head coach or coordinator in NFL history to start their career 0-3 in Super Bowls.
Oh,
none of those people ever went on to win a Super Bowl.
Really?
None of them. Ted Marchabrota,
of course,
lost a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator in Washington, and then two more as an offensive coordinator in Buffalo. Never won a Super Bowl. Jerry Burns, who was with Bud Grant,
none of these guys are Barry Switzers.
You might like the last
Barry Switzer.
One.
One year or 2 years, one Super Bowl,
1-1 in Super Bowls, like 1-4-1.
Yeah,
that's never lost a Super Bowl.
Means 1-0. What do you mean, 1-0?
Yeah, I don't know.
1-1.
Bud Grant went 0-4 in Super Bowls as the Vikings head coach. Jerry Burns was the offensive coordinator for all of those, and he also lost all four of those Super Bowls. And then Marv Levy went 0-4 as the Bills head coach. So nobody who's gotten 0-3, like Kyle Shanahan, has ever gone on to win a Super Bowl. Does this officially close the book on the 49ers winning a Super Bowl?
They're winning it.
Oh.
By the way,
ready to buck that trend?
It's time.
Somebody texted this in, Kevin.
They actually are all in.
That's fair.
And I wanted to go look. Steve DeBerg has only been sacked 296 times in what I would consider a relatively long career, from the age of 24 to the age of 44.
Okay.
He was only sacked 296 times in what looks like 206 games. So just over one sack per game.
Okay.
Steve DeBerg was our quarterback.
Yes, he was.
206 games?
296, 206 games, 296 sacks.
That's such a dumb drop that we have.
This is my favorite drop.
Glad that we have
it. So Steve DeBerg is the answer, I think.
And then this is where we're always prepared to battle back against people who want to discount our research. In the 682, sacks didn't become an official stat till 1982. Adjust my glasses. So I don't know how Fran Tarkenton could be the leader. That's if you go by the oppressive NFL system.
Oppressive.
Pro Football Reference did all of the research and gave it to the NFL, and they're like, no, we're not going to accept it. Even though they did all of the research to help certain people get into the Hall of Fame and to help Fran Tarkenton get sacked more.
Jeez.
So, of course, the NFL is going to glorify Tom Brady because that's what they do. And they refuse to acknowledge Fran Tarkenton.
So they're oppressive for a guy who doesn't even play for them anymore?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, look, the NFL doesn't want to pay out all the players that got crippled while they were playing there or got brain damage. So the NFL is not above holding people back even when they're out of the league.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay. All right.
I'm not fighting you on that one.
Okay. Thank you. So, Mike, you believe this is the year for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I mean, they're pretty.
I think Brock Purdy is very good, and he's only making $1 million, so they have 40 plus extra million to play with. And I think that they have the weapons are outstanding. Their defense is really good. And I think Brock Purdy has learned a lot of lessons in his 2 years in going deep into the playoffs. So it's very tough. I get when you lose the Super Bowl, it does not bode well for winning the next year. But I think that they're going to run through the NFC and be in the Super Bowl again.
I swear I'm not doing this. It's like a trap or anything. I'm really curious. If all other things were equal on their money, which I realize they definitely are not, would you rather have Brock Purdy or Dak?
I think it's close.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot that goes into it. If I have the choice, I would pick Brock Purdy because I think he has 10 plus more years in the NFL.
True.
But if you're saying I can only have him, like, would I rather have Dak Prescott at $1 million on the San Francisco 49ers this year or Brock Purdy? I would probably rather have Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Because I think Dak, I've said this before, if he's making $30 million or less, I think you can build a championship team around him. The issue is he's never going to make that money until like his career is pretty much over.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those tough things. And Dak fits into that category of when you become a really good quarterback, but you can't really lead a team to a championship on your own at that money. You're screwed because you can only make the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think the 49ers will be in trouble unless Brock takes a major leap forward.
Yeah.
Because I think he's in that good quarterback category. He's in there with Jared Goff. He's in there with Dak Prescott, those type of quarterbacks. But once you get him to the 50 to 60 million he's going to make, he has 2 years left, right?
Yes.
And then after that, San Francisco screwed.
Changed the economic game for sure. Now, I've got another odd bit of trivia for you, and the answer is not Steve DeBerg. Did you know that? I know that is not the answer. Did you know that Josh Jacobs currently has the second most receptions in NFL history without scoring a receiving touchdown?
No.
He has 197 catches with no receiving touchdowns.
Why? I guess they don't like throwing to him around like within the 20.
That's an interesting question because Earl Campbell.
I guess you have Devontae Adams a lot of these times too to throw to in that situation, and then they had Hunter Henry. Who was the bald white guy?
Rex Burkhead.
No,
Rex Chapman.
No, he was like their slot receiver, and I can't think of his name right now.
Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow.
Way to take the fun out of that.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Lance Dunbar,
yeah, the right answer quickly,
is in the top 20 of this. Earl Campbell is number 6. Eric Bieniemy is 3rd. Josh Jacobs is 2nd with 197 catches, with 5 more catches without a touchdown. He will surpass Gerald Riggs as the most prolific pass catcher ever to not have a touchdown
catch.
Would
you ever throw the ball to Earl Campbell? Just hand him the ball and let him run over people. That's why he didn't have any of those, dude.
Maybe it was supposed to be a pass, and the quarterback dropped back, and he's like, this is stupid.
It bounced off of...
Why don't I just give it to Earl Campbell?
Probably like, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
what
go.
You do. You hand him the ball and let him run over people.
Yeah, and then they just tear his jersey off while he's running.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Oh, my God. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on M105.
What if they didn't have another jersey? He's just like, I'm just playing with shoulder pads on. I think it'd be tougher to tackle.
I do, too. It also feels like it'd be more painful on
you. Yeah, because you get nails.
Yeah.
Not like nails and hammers, like fingernails.
Yep.
In case you were worried that people had nails
and hammers on the field.
There's a movie where I think a football player had a gun and just
shot
somebody.
That was called The Last Boy Scout. That is an awesome movie. I haven't watched it in a long time. Have no idea if it stands up, but I used to love that movie.
And then Bane crushed everybody with the field crumbling.
That is a totally different movie. They both have football stadiums. That's a different, a different movie. They came out like 25 years apart or like 17 years apart.
I think it was a sequel.
Okay, coming up next. When it comes to playmakers, have the Cowboys really fallen this far? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Getting just there. Call it fake.
Yeah, that's right.
Wild.
I don't care what they change the name to. It'll always be Wet and Wild to me, damn it. I would always think there's so many fun things right there. I don't want to go to my job or go to school or whatever. So it probably is a cool place to live, but I would be like, man, do you want to go to work today or do you want to go to Six Flags?
I've had a couple of friends who've lived in Arlington and they're like, this is my favorite place that I've lived in so far. And they lived in some pretty decent areas of Dallas that I thought were really cool too. So I've always like thought that, but I also at the same time, I'm like, is it just attraction town? Or is there other really good stuff to go along with it? So, I don't know.
And that is an interesting point. Man, there's a lot more feedback. I'm sorry. We might have to revisit this again at some point. Coming up next, though, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Can Shanahan, Aaron Rodgers, and Dangerous avoid these dubious NFL records? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Wilson throws off balance, picked off at the 4-yard line. Rodney Thomas has made a couple of really nice plays tonight, and another one here, and he finally gets tripped up.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep. Here we go!
I don't know why I didn't know that was going to happen.
You're welcome.
I think Alec is so good at his job. I just don't care.
You don't expect it?
I don't care for that part. Mike thinks it's the best thing.
I do not apologize.
It's like you're getting ready to snap the ball.
Okay.
It just matters who you're playing, if it's going to go well or not.
Do you want to talk about the suctitude of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson or Kyle Shanahan?
The suctitude of Kyle Shanahan or the suctitude of those two?
Correct.
Or also talk about Kyle Shanahan.
The way you said it before.
All right. Aaron Rodgers' suctitude? Is that a thing? Explain to me. I'd like to hear it.
Who do you think has been sacked more times in football? Or else, I get it. You're thinking Kardashian. I see where it's going. In the history of football, who has been sacked the most times?
In the history of football?
That's right.
Vinny Testaverde.
David Carr.
They're better than that.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is second. He has been sacked 565 times.
Who's the Minnesota quarterback that played for 750 years? Mike Fisher usually uses his name. He played in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, my God. Fran Tarkenton. I knew you guys had it. I just wanted you to say it. Fran Tarkenton has been sacked 570 times. That is the most in NFL history. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is third. Fourth and fifth are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. 531 sacks for Aaron Rodgers, 527 sacks for Aaron Rodgers. Let's try that again.
I heard it.
Okay, 531 sacks for Aaron Rodgers, 527 sacks for Russell Wilson. So they are both within striking distance of this record.
Dude, here's the thing. Tom Brady had 12,000 pass attempts in his career.
That's a lot.
Russell Wilson, 5,600.
Oh, my God.
So, like, just imagine 12,000 attempts and sacked 565 times.
Well, here's
5,000 attempts and sacked 527 times.
Here's part of the issue.
Rodgers is at 7,660, by the way.
Twice in Russell Wilson's career, he has been sacked less than 41 times in a season. Less than 8 times he's been sacked 43 times or more in a season, which means if he did that this year, he has the potential to be the most sacked quarterback of all time. Are you impressed by that record? Because the quarterbacks in the mix are actually all pretty good because they clearly had a lot of longevity.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list, and I don't have Tarkenton on here. I don't know why they don't have him on this specific list, Kevin, but it's Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Wilson, Favre, Elway, Dave Craig.
Ooh, so Dave Craig, that takes a pretty big hit.
That's a weird one to kind of just throw in the mix. How did he get to quarterback that long?
That's a great question.
I know. They're all good questions.
Okay. I don't know about that, but
I didn't say they're all great questions.
Okay, but that was a really, this is a good question as well. 817, who's been sacked the least amount of times that's had a relatively long career?
Who's been sacked the least?
That's still had a relatively long career. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have the answer, I don't even know what to
do. I don't have the answer.
Because we can't even guess.
I mean, you can. I'll just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go from that to Kyle Shanahan. This is an interesting point that I guess I hadn't realized. Kyle Shanahan is the fifth head coach or coordinator in NFL history to start their career 0-3 in Super Bowls.
Oh,
none of those people ever went on to win a Super Bowl.
Really?
None of them. Ted Marchabrota,
Of course.
Lost a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator in Washington, and then two more as an offensive coordinator in Buffalo. Never won a Super Bowl. Jerry Burns, who was with Bud Grant.
None of these guys are Barry Switzers.
You might like the last
Barry Switzer, one year or 2 years, one Super Bowl.
1-1 in Super Bowls, like 1-4-1.
Yeah.
That's never lost a Super Bowl.
Means 1-0. What do you mean 1-0?
Yeah, I don't know.
1-for-1.
Bud Grant went 0-4 in Super Bowls as the Vikings head coach. Jerry Burns was the offensive coordinator for all of those, and he also lost all four of those Super Bowls. And then Marv Levy went 0-4 as the Bills head coach. So nobody who's gotten 0-3, like Kyle Shanahan, has ever gone on to win a Super Bowl. Does this officially close the book on the 49ers winning a Super Bowl with
They're winning it.
Oh.
By the way.
Ready to buck that trend?
It's time.
Somebody texted this in, Kevin.
They actually are all in.
That's fair.
And I wanted to go look. Steve DeBerg has only been sacked 296 times in what I would consider a relatively long career, from the age of 24 to the age of 44.
Okay.
He was only sacked 296 times in what looks like 206 games. So just over one sack per game.
Okay.
Steve DeBerg was our quarterback.
Yes, he was.
206 games?
296, 206 games, 296 sacks.
That's such a dumb drop that we have.
This is so my favorite drop.
Glad that we have
it. So Steve DeBerg is the answer, I think.
And then this is where we're always prepared
always
to battle back
Steve DeBerg
against people who want to discount our research. In the 682, sacks didn't become an official stat until 1982. Adjust my glasses. So I don't know how Fran Tarkenton could be the leader. That's if you go by the oppressive NFL system.
Oppressive.
Pro Football Reference did all of the research and gave it to the NFL, and they're like, no, we're not going to accept it. Even though they did all of the research to help certain people get into the Hall of Fame and to help Fran Tarkenton get sacked more.
Jeez.
So, of course, the NFL is going to glorify Tom Brady, because that's what they do, and they refuse to acknowledge Fran Tarkenton.
So they're oppressive for a guy who doesn't even play for them anymore?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, look, the NFL doesn't want to pay out all the players that got crippled while they were playing there or got brain damage. So the NFL is not above holding people back even when they're out of the league.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay. All right.
I'm not fighting you on that one.
Okay. Thank you. So, Mike, you believe this is the year for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I mean, they're pretty.
I think Brock Purdy is very good, and he's only making $1 million, so they have 40 plus extra million to play with. And I think that they have the weapons are outstanding. Their defense is really good. And I think Brock Purdy has learned a lot of lessons in his 2 years in going deep into the playoffs. So it's very tough. I get when you lose the Super Bowl, it does not bode well for winning the next year. But I think that they're going to run through the NFC and be in the Super Bowl again.
I swear I'm not doing this as like a trap or anything. I'm really curious. If all other things were equal on their money, which I realize they definitely are not, would you rather have Brock Purdy or Dak?
I think it's close.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot that goes into it. If I have the choice, I would pick Brock Purdy because I think he has 10 plus more years in the NFL.
True.
But if you're saying I can only have him, like, would I rather have Dak Prescott at $1 million on the San Francisco 49ers this year or Brock Purdy? I would probably rather have Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Because I think Dak, I've said this before, if he's making $30 million or less, I think you can build a championship team around him. The issue is he's never going to make that money until like his career is pretty much over.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those tough things. And Dak fits into that category of when you become a really good quarterback, but you can't really lead a team to a championship on your own at that money. You're screwed because you can only make the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think the 49ers will be in trouble unless Brock takes a major leap forward.
Yeah.
Because I think he's in that good quarterback category. He's in there with Jared Goff. He's in there with Dak Prescott, those type of quarterbacks. But once you get him to the 50 to 60 million he's going to make, he has 2 years left, right?
Yes.
And then after that, San Francisco screwed.
Changed the economic game for sure. I've got another odd bit of trivia for you, and the answer is not Steve DeBerg. Did you know that I know that is not the answer. Did you know that Josh Jacobs currently has the second most receptions in NFL history without scoring a receiving touchdown?
No.
He has 197 catches with no receiving touchdowns.
Why? I guess they don't like throwing to him around like within the 20.
That's an interesting question because Earl Campbell.
I guess you have Devontae Adams a lot of these times too to throw to in that situation, and then they had Hunter Henry. Who was the bald white guy?
Rex Burkhead.
No.
Rex Chapman.
No, he was like their slot receiver, and I can't think of his name right now.
Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, Renfro. Hunter Renfro.
Way to take the fun out of that.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Lance Dunbar.
Yeah, you got the right answer quickly.
Is in the top 20 of this. Earl Campbell is number 6. Eric Bieniemy is 3rd. Josh Jacobs is 2nd with 197 catches, with 5 more catches without a touchdown. He will surpass Gerald Riggs as the most prolific pass catcher ever to not have a touchdown
catch.
Would
you ever throw the ball to Earl Campbell? Just hand him the ball and let him run over people. That's why he didn't have any of those, dude.
Maybe it was supposed to be a pass, and the quarterback dropped back, and he's like, this is stupid.
It bounced off of...
Why don't I just give it to Earl Campbell?
Probably like, so.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. You hand him the ball and let him run over people. Yeah,
and then they just tear his jersey off while he's running.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Oh, my God. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on M105.
What if they didn't have another jersey? He's just like, I'm just playing with shoulder pads on. I think it'd be tougher to tackle.
I do, too. It also feels like it'd be more painful on
you. Yeah, because you get nails.
Yeah.
Not like nails and hammers, like fingernails.
Yep.
In case you were worried that people had nails
and hammers on the field.
There's a movie where I think a football player had a gun and just shot
somebody. That was called The Last Boy Scout. That is an awesome movie. I haven't watched it in a long time. Have no idea if it stands up, but I used to love that movie.
And then Bane crushed everybody with the field crumbling.
That is a totally different movie. They both have football stadiums. That's a different, a different movie. They came out like 25 years apart or like 17 years apart.
I think it was a sequel.
Okay, coming up next. When it comes to playmakers, have the Cowboys really fallen this far? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.